Well, let's start. Glad to see some people here. Hope you slept in today after yesterday's party. My final session for this conference. It's been fun so far, and let's have even more fun now. Talk about my favorite new feature or product in the Office family, Microsoft Office Web Apps 2013. This is about how to operate it, how to maintain it, how to patch it, how to install it, etc. So you get the most out of it, and it's a really cool product, really built to scale, built to be easy to maintain. But it's very, very different from maintaining SharePoint. SharePoint is a beast compared to Office Web Apps. Office Web Apps is really, really smooth in many ways, but there's some things you need to think of when installing it, patching it, etc. And hopefully I cover most of it in this session. And feel free to ask questions whenever. So, for those of you who haven't seen me yet, my name is Victor Wilén. I come from Sweden, work as a SharePoint architect or Office Web Apps architect. I have a couple of certifications and I'm an MVP. I've written a book. I have one of my books here, so good questions. It's a developer book, so good questions. You can get that one. I can sign it as Wainet also. So sure, I do that. So today we're going to talk about the Office Web App Server or the WAC server. We're going to show you how to install it, create a cluster. So we have two servers running Office Web Apps. We're going to connect it to SharePoint. We're going to talk about how to connect it to Exchange and Link, but we will not actually do that. Configure it. We will see. I will not patch live here, but I'll walk you through the patching process. It's very simple, basically. And there's some other things specifically around security, which I think is really important, because this server will essentially render all your top secret documents. So you have to be very careful. And there's very strict limitations on what you can do and what you cannot do. But first of all, I think this is really important. OWA is Outlook Web Access or Outlook Web App. So don't rename your server OWA or something, because then Exchange admins come in there and do their stuff on it. And you don't want that to happen. It's called a WAC, Web Applications Companion. So not OWA, it's WAC. Remember that. There's a lot of people saying OWA anyways, but I don't do that. So first of all, we'll take a look at the SharePoint 2010 version. In SharePoint 2010, Office Web Apps was a service application. It was patched together with SharePoint's point server. It has the same release cadence as SharePoint server. But there were two different teams, and they, as happens sometimes, teams don't talk to each other that good. So there was a bit difference between what actually happened with Office Web Apps product and what actually got into SharePoint service application of it. For instance, Office Web Apps was running on docs.com, what is available in Facebook is in SkyDrive, and those services got new features, whereas the SharePoint 2010 service application did not get these features, which was a bit sad. It had some strange licensing issues. It supported co-authoring and all that cool stuff, so everybody wanted it, but it was really hard to get the new features into the SharePoint version of it. So the team decided to not rip it all apart, but to change the way it's implemented. And also, not only for SharePoint, but also for Link and Exchange and for SkyDrive, the consumer version, and make it really, really scalable. So they created the WAC server. Actually, WAC is not, it was used for the SharePoint 2010 version as well. And WAC server is Office Web App Server 2013, that's the official name. All patches and everything is where they use the WAC term. It's a totally new product, nothing like the previous version. And what's really cool with it is that they really built it as fault-tolerant and scalable. For instance, in SkyDrive, in the consumer version, there's thousands of, I don't know, 10,000 of servers running Office Web Apps in the same farm, basically. So you can scale it hugely. And very fault-tolerant. Just switch out the server. It's not like in SharePoint, where there sometimes are a bit problem removing a server and inserting a new one. And it's totally independent of SharePoint. It has nothing to do with SharePoint. which is good in some ways. But it can be shared with SharePoint Exchange and Lync, for instance. And this is thanks to a new protocol called WAPI, Web Applications Open Protocol Initiative, is the term. And that's an open protocol, which means that anyone can download it from the Microsoft specification site and protocol site and implement your own WAPI server or WAPI client. We're going to talk a little bit about that during the session as well. And apart from being a brand new server product, they added a couple of new things as well into the 2013 version. But first of all, I mentioned that already. It's no connection to SharePoint. It has far better browser and mobile browser support. Basically, you can run it on any kind of device. Oh, not the old Nokia WAP devices, but any device with a decent browser in it. The licensing is improved very much. Instead of being very much tied to the Office Professional licenses, you can actually put an Office Web App Server or Office Web App Server farm on your public-facing.com sites and render documents there for anonymous usage without paying a single dollar to Microsoft, except the licenses for the servers and server OS. There's some licensing if you use it internally and use it for editing, then it's still tied to the Office Professional Pro Plus license, if I'm correct. I'm no license expert, so don't kill me for saying that, but it's something like that. Make sure to check that with your lawyer first. It can also not only show files from SharePoint, it can also show files from a UNC path, for instance. But watch out for this. It's a bit complicated setup, and you have to give a lot of permissions to that file share. So I haven't done that in any live production environment, only my dev environments. So don't go there. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. It's based on the WAPI protocol. And it also supports external data in Excel, for instance. Using actually the secure store in SharePoint where you can store the credentials. So you can use that to build BI features without using any BI features in SharePoint, like the Excel service web application. Does not support delegation, though. It also has support for ODF 1.2, so you can work with ODF documents. And since the public update in March, it also supports viewing of PDF documents. So you actually have a PDF viewer in Office Web Apps. So just a quick look at on how the WAPI protocol works. I'm not going to dig deep into the specification, but basically it consists of a host frame and an app frame. The host frame is SharePoint, Exchange, Lync, or any other WAPI app, I think. Always mix those two up, but it can be anything. You can build a custom ASP.NET application here as well, having this host frame. That app frame is where Office Web Apps live, so it's basically an iframe, and you pass using query string information to that app frame on how to reach back into SharePoint, Exchange Link, and render that document, for instance. And you can also create a custom WAPI client if you want to. If you want to render other kind of documents. In my last demo, I'm going to show one of my pet projects I have called OpenWAPI, which can render text documents. You can edit and view text documents, Visio and GPX files, and a couple of others. And this is a huge vendor opportunity here. For instance, creating CAD files, CAD file viewers. There are web versions of the popular CAD tools out there. If they implement the WAPI protocol, basically, we can have a CAD viewer in SharePoint, which is really cool. So I'm going to show you a little bit later these URLs. So let's go back to the actual Office Web App server and the hardware and OS requirements for that one. Hardware, think of it basically as the same hardware as you use for SharePoint 2013. As the standard 2013 environment, of course, the more users you have, you might need more memory, more disk, etc. So you can either scale it up or scale it out. But normally, I don't have the specs in my head now, but one or two servers for high availability of course, can support up to 10,000 users doing quite a lot amount of work. So you don't need 15 servers. in none of my cases I've used more than two servers at the moment because it's so efficient out of the box. You can virtualize it, it's fully supported. Watch out for the disks though. Don't use any virtual or expandable disks because it's using the disk as cache for all the documents. You can run it on 2008 R2, 64-bit version of course, but then you have to apply this hotfix that's mentioned here, or you can run it on Windows Server 2012. It requires .NET Framework 4.5 and PowerShell 3 to do the administration. There's no UI or anything here. It's pure PowerShell, which is great. And also, this must be joined to a domain. It's not really a must if you have a single server. It can be without a domain, but basically you should always have it joined to domain. Preferably in the same domain as the SharePoint servers, and it must be in the same forest as the SharePoint servers or Exchange Link servers. So requirements aren't that bad. In my demo here, I use 2 gig machines, 2 gig of RAM, and I've done some testing on it, and it scales really, really well. If you take a more deeper look at the server requirements, we are not allowed to run any other server applications on the WAC servers. So we cannot share this with SharePoint, for instance, or Lync or Exchange. In SharePoint, it's actually a hard block for this. And basically, you should not run anything else. Just like SQL Server, don't run anything else on it. But even on SQL Server, you could put SharePoint in that box. With WAC Server, you cannot. And the fun thing with that is that the Office Web App Server actually owns the IIS on that machine. So every time you restart the machine, it will remove all the web applications and spin them up again. When you restart the server, it will remove the IIS settings and spin them up again. Excuse me. So it uses port 80 or 443, depending on if you're using HTTP or HTTPS. And internally, it uses port 809 to do the synchronization between the machines in the farm. It actually has support for using 8.10 for internal HTTPS synchronization. But from what I've seen so far, it only uses 8.09, which is HTTP, in the synchronization between the servers, which leads us to the security later. We need to protect these farms so we don't kind of get into that port and that line is protected between the machines. Another thing, if you ever come up with the idea to install Office on this machine, don't do that because then WAC will stop working. And it should not be on the domain controller. Just like any other things. But here really strange things will happen if you go outside these boundaries. Some other things that's really important. Always use SSL TLS here. As I said in the beginning, all your documents, even the IRM protected ones, are going to be transferred to your Office Web App server. It essentially goes to SharePoint, get the document, takes it down, and renders it. So all your documents are going to be transferred over this. So always use Office Web App over HTTPS. It's the same as for SharePoint. One caveat here is the SSL certificate must be SAN certificate or WAL certificate and contain the fully qualified domain name of all your WAC servers. I will show that in the demo. Otherwise, it will work perfectly, but you will get a lot of warnings and errors. And another thing, use session affinity on the load balancer. This is performance reasons. So one user ends up on the same machine all the time. It's more efficient for the caching, so it doesn't have to go back to SharePoint all the time or re-render the images in the Word document, etc. This is one really important thing. If you follow TechNet, you will get a working Office Web App farm, but you will never get a healthy Office Web App farm because they miss one important feature. This is the 2012 version feature name. It's the WCF HTTP activation feature. It must be installed on your WAC servers. So let's quickly go through the install. I will show that. Install the OS, the prereqs, patches. Of course, keep it patched like any other server. Install WAC, it's next, finish, done. Then install the language packs, next, finish, done. Sysprep your machine. So you have a stamp. So you just can spin it up for the next few machines. And this is exactly what we'll do in the demo. Then you join, stop, boot up the machine after sysprepped it, join the domain, create a name for it, join a cluster or use a load balancer, create to join the WAC form. So it's really easy. And just repeat from 6 for each machine. So it's very repeatable. And this is really good. You should do that for SharePoint as well. Install the binaries, language packs, etc. Don't run psconfig. Run a sysprep so you have a good stamp. OK. This is my demo environment. I have a SharePoint server, a DC. We're going to set up network load balancing. We have two WAC servers, one that's already installed, joined to the domain. The other one we will script and join to domain and configure and get it all working. So first, prepare the WAC server. Oh, sorry. Here. I actually cheated a little bit here. Da-da. Wait for it to log in. Did it fall asleep? Here's my first server. I already installed WAC on this machine. The binaries, I haven't created any farm yet. We will do that soon. And I just recently booted up this machine from a sysprep state. Skip that one. Log in. And of course, use a Swedish keyboard. Next. So this is a brand new machine, sysprepped with all the binaries. I have to log into that one. And then I will just copy in a few script files here. So you don't want to see the wizard next finish. So that's I prepared that one. So let's copy in a couple of PowerShell script files here. I have to drag them from here. No, not there. Okay, let's go back to this one. And join the server to domain, this first thing we have to do. Let me zoom it up. You can do all this scripted, and you can even make it auto-start as soon as it has rebooted. Make sure it runs the next PowerShell script, etc. So the first thing I do here is just set up a couple of parameters. And come on, start. OK. And the thing here is that I specify OU, where when I join the domain, so I'm joining this machine to specific OU. Because when I set up the Office web app form in a couple of seconds, I will specify that only machines in this OU in the Active Directory can be joined to the form. That's a security measurement, so not anyone can join a machine to your WAC form. So it's a good practice to do that. The caveat here is that it has to be top level OU in your domain. So that's always a fun discussion with the AD admins. Then I set up my NICs. So everything is PowerShell here to configure the NICs. Set an IP address, just to verify that we can ping the domain controller. It's working. I need credentials to join the machine to the domain. I use the domain admin here. Hopefully that's right. I add the computer to the domain. And specify the OU path here. It worked. I rename the machine to my new name. And reboot machine. That's the first demo. So you can script everything. So it's really easy if you just need. And the reason why you should script this is that when you're patching Office web apps, you essentially have to build a new server. So you will do this for every patch, basically. So that's a good reason to have a sysprep machine that you just can start up, install the new patch on, sysprep it again, and repeat this routine. And to create an Office web apps form, we use the PowerShell commandlet called new Office web apps form. We need to specify internal and external URLs. Reason for internal and external URLs are in the cases when we use a proxy, we access our intranet from a proxy or similar, or if we're using it internally only. Configure HTTPS and certificate. If we're not using certificate, make sure you use IPsec. And how many of you have done a successful IPsec implementation in here? None. That's what I guess. So use an HTTPS certificate. IPsec is really skilled network operations team to do that. We specify where to store the cache and logs, of course, not on the C drive, preferably on another drive. Use the verbose switch, you get some more information when it's creating the farm. Specify the Active Directory OU that I showed you that we joined the machine to. So let's do that. And I'm back on my, that machine has booted. Let's go back to my WAC. The C machine in this case. Can you read this? Yeah, I hope so. This is a script that I use. I set up a couple of parameters first. The OU, the top level OU. So note the format here. It's only the name of the top level OU here. I can't specify DN path. I specify the internal and external URLs, cache locations. Even though I only have one disk here, I don't want it down in program data, Microsoft Office web apps, etc. I want it easily accessible. The default size and of documents or cache, the maximum document size, maximum memory to use, etc. And finally, my certificate file and my certificate name. So let's just get these into PowerShell. So what I'll do here is, the first line here is to import the certificate. The certificate is a PFX file in this case, right there, which means I need to go to the correct folder. Good. So I import that certificate, and I will show you that in a second here. File. Add certificates. How many of you use HTTPS on your SharePoint installation today? Yeah, a few of you. Good job. This can be a mess if you don't have a proper CA configured in your organization. So when I imported that certificate, it ended up in here, and it's connected to the name of it is officecorp.local. If I go to details, you will see my SAN certificate here. That actually has three DNS names, the load balance names and the fully qualified domain name of my individual servers. So if I add an extra server to this one, I need to change the certificate. So this might be a problem for you sometimes. Others create a couple of names extra. Use a wildcard certificate. There are a couple of options of doing this, but you need to have it this way. And if you create some wildcard for star.corp.local, then it's for your whole domain, then you need to be sure to protect that certificate really, really well as well. Next thing to do is use this new Office web app farm commandlet. I'm specifying a lot of parameters here. The most important in this case, except those with the parameters we looked at, is the editing enabled. To be able to do editing in Office web apps, I must use editing enabled. Otherwise, it's just, and the reason that's an extra switch for that is tied to the licensing. If you run it without editing enabled, you cannot edit stuff, then you also don't need license for the Office web apps product. So I run that one. And note, I still have confirm. I have confirm with false there, so I shouldn't confirm this one. But in a couple of seconds, I need to confirm it anyways, since I specify this editing enabled. Let's do it like this. Continue, yes. And let's go here. You will see in a couple of seconds. Yeah, now it's created the different file locations here. Takes a couple of seconds to do. Gives me some information of my farm, and now I have an Office web apps farm. To verify this, I should use. I can actually browse to the current machine that I set up this on to a specific endpoint, which is called the discovery endpoint in WOCBI. And I do that just to verify the certificate is okay and that my Office Web Apps farm is working. Just give this a chance to start. Come on. https://, SWAC 2013C corp local /hosting/discovery. That's the discovery endpoint. And that's the endpoint that the WOCBI protocol specifies. And it's an XML document that shows all the capabilities of this Office Web Apps farm, which document types it can view and edit, etc. Take up https://WAC. Here it is. So I get this XML back, then I know it's up and running. Number two, I get the correct certificate up here, which means the certificate is in its order. If I get the red bar up there, something is wrong with the certificate. So this is a really good check to do. Next thing to do is to actually set up NLB on this machine. And I use PowerShell for that. Great. Just some parameters, create a new cluster. It's very simple, one line, at NLB. We already had a cluster on that one, so. That's what happens when you prepare your demo machines too many times. And finally down here, I use PowerShell also to add office.corp.local as a DNS A record. Come on. Now we should be able to run a new NLB cluster. And as you can see, I'm running this on Windows Server 2012 where I have all these PowerShell modules. Yeah, one question. Yeah, sure. In a previous demo of this, I used the F5 one, and you can use whatever. This is NLB, and most network admins I meet talk to, they don't want to use NLB. They want to use their own hardware for that or software load balancers. And let's add that DNS record as well. So once we've done that, we do the exactly same thing that we did to the single server machine here and make sure that the discovery endpoint works on the load balance address as well once that one is done. So in this case, I change the server name to office. Should be working in a couple of seconds. Same here. I go here just to verify that my NLB is up and running, and some error there, but ignore that, and that my certificate is working. What? Yeah, it's working. I had some error. Probably the same. I already had that A record in my DNS. So my farm is up and running. I could connect this to SharePoint right now and have it working. So it doesn't take many minutes to set up an Office Web Apps farm properly. Most of the time is about actually ordering the certificate and fixing that. So let's go back to the slides for a quick one. The MS-WOPI protocol, I mentioned that before. It's open, documented, and it describes this endpoint and exactly what this XML says. You can create your own WOPI hosts or servers. That's exactly what SharePoint is, or create your own WOPI apps and clients, which means you can use Office Web App Server in your own applications, or you can add new file extensions, for instance, that you won't be able to view and edit. I've written a little bit about that, so follow that link if you need more info. To connect this to SharePoint, I use the new SP WOPI binding PowerShell commandlet in SharePoint. And it connects SharePoint to the farm by going into this discovery endpoint, reading that XML file, and adding that information and metadata to SharePoint. And here, always use a fully qualified domain name, not the server name or anything. You want to use the fully qualified domain name when connecting. Add those WPI bindings. If you specify only the server name when connecting, then it will add all the bindings in that XML file to SharePoint. But if you only want, I only want to show Word files, for instance, you can specify that I want to add this server, but only this file extension. And the good thing with SharePoint, it actually supports multiple WPI apps. For instance, if someone build a third-party WPI app, you can install it. And Exchange and Lync can't handle that so far. This is one thing. Most of you in here use SharePoint on HTTP. So if you're using SharePoint on HTTP, you must make sure that the security token service configuration in SharePoint 2013 has to allow OAuth over HTTP flag set to true. That's false by default. And this is where most people stumble and don't get their Office Web Apps farm working, because they miss this step. Or think, I'm running Office Web Apps on HTTPS, and I don't have to do it. But because Office Web Apps talks back to SharePoint on HTTP, that's the reason you need to set this one. And exactly, I will do that in my demo. I don't run SharePoint in my demo on HTTPS. So when connecting to Lync and Exchange, in Exchange, the PowerShell command that you use, basically the same as new SP WPI binding. In Lync, you use the topology builder and specify the discovery endpoint. And they only allows you to connect to a single WPI app. So let's connect our Office Web App server to, or SharePoint to our Office Web App server. So we go over to SharePoint. Hopefully, let's first take a look at my team site here. A lot of documents, very boring, no previews. Same for search, we search for something. Search for something. SharePoint search is fast. Here we have no previews so far. So I go to PowerShell as usual, load my SharePoint snap in, and then if SharePoint is not using HTTPS, I have to set this allow OAuth over HTTP. So I check that one, it's false. I need to set that one to true. And now it's true. You don't have to do more than that, no reboots or anything. Then I use the new SPWPI binding and specify the fully qualified domain name of my, in this case, load balanced endpoint. Click F8. Take a couple of seconds for it to discover this document, and then we'll write out all the WPI bindings it discovers. So you can actually do like this, get SPWPI binding at grid view. Just to watch all the different binding it has. For Excel, OneNote, PowerPoint, Word. And you can see Word PDF here. And Word, you have ODT and the ODF file extensions. And if you take a closer look, there are actually two zones here. Internal and external HTTPS, which I talked about earlier, with different URLs. So you have to make sure that SharePoint runs on one of those zones. And by default, it's internal HTTPS. And in our case, that's what we want. So let's go back to our document library. Reload that one. And voila. We don't have to do anything more than that. In a couple of seconds, we will see a preview here. Once the Office Web Server is getting a little bit warmer. Now it's starting. So that now we have previews in our document libraries, and we can edit the documents very soon. It's a bit slow today. I apologize for that. Come on, I want to see one document at least. Yeah, here we have it. So we have documents, and here's actually one of my favorites. Not that keyword, but the print to PDF one there. that's a really good thing. You can sell in an Office web observer with a lot of servers and get money for that just for that print to PDF thing. So show that to your managers if you want to use that one.
So,
what? No, there's no viewer for Visio. That's one of my pet projects, as I said. I'm working on that one, unless the product group does something amazing. So we have, by default, for PowerPoint, Excel, PDF, Word, etc. And if I click on the document, we go to this. Let's expand the URL here a bit. And here's what I talked about earlier, the frame. It's actually a Whoopi frame, is what it's called, in SharePoint. And that one opens an iframe and sends an access token and the URL to the document to the Office web apps, which goes back into SharePoint, fetch the document using that access token. And if we do a search, for Ipsum this time, hey, there's no previews here. That's because we need to run a full crawl after we added the Office web app server, because we need to create the new managed property or discover that new managed property which is used. So let's fire off that crawl and get back to this in a couple of minutes. Like that. So let's jump back into the slides again. New Office web apps machine, that's a command that we're using to add new machines to our Office web apps farm. It's called machines in all the commandlets, so don't forget that. I tried to find the commandlet with servers in, but it's machines, and that's how it's referred to. When you add a new machine, you go to that machine. Of course, sysprep, as it did before, use the new Office web apps machine and point to an already existing server in that farm. When you do this, you can actually specify four different roles for each machine. It will be front-end, Word back-end, Excel back-end, and PowerPoint back-end. This is really good. You can dedicate the server for rendering PowerPoint, so Word and Excel files. But this is only required or used if you have more than 25 servers in the Office web apps farm. And I guess no one except Microsoft and Office 365 will have that situation, or really large hosters. So don't bother with that one. And really important, that's one machine called the master machine. And that's the one that owns the configuration. So make sure, if you're going to decommission a machine, to move the master machine to another server. Otherwise, you will get in a weird state. So let's go to our machine that we joined to the domain previously and add that to the farm. So we're on the D machine here. I have to log in. Sorry. I'm logging in as domain admin now, which you shouldn't obviously do. You should instead have an install account that you do this with, and make sure that that account is a member of administrators group on the local machine. But I'm a bit lazy today. So let's get this thing started. Let's open our PowerShell scripts that we copied in previously. Whack, now we need to do that one, edit. So what I have to do on this one is also import the certificate. And that's really important, actually, if you for some reason need to change the certificate, you need to make sure you import the certificate on all machines in the farm before you update the farm the WAC configuration with the new certificate. So let's run these lines, import the certificate, run the new Office web apps machine and the machine to join. Then we'll actually reach out to the other machine, get the configuration from that one, and set up this new WAC machine. Let's see here. I usually take a look where my temp files are ending up. Oh, now it's good. So, just taking a couple of more seconds. Then I can, we're up and running. You can see the master machine name is the C machine, the one I created first. The new machine name, it has all the roles, and its health status is unknown. And keep an eye on this health status. So I can do this, get the office web apps farm dot machines to get all machines in the farm. Just, I want to show you the health status of them. It's a bit slow now. Why? I don't know. Here it is. So you can see our C machine is healthy. Our D machine is still unhealthy. It takes a couple of minutes for it to become healthy. And actually, that status is only updated every 15 minutes or so. But I think 99% of all installations done in Office Web Apps are unhealthy. That's my guess, because people have missed this with a certificate and a fully qualified domain name, this WCF HTTP activation feature. And so when they're healthy, they're really healthy. Unhealthy doesn't mean that it doesn't work. It can still work. And I'll talk about troubleshooting in a couple of slides. Let's join this to the cluster as well. Join the cluster, which is very CPI, very easy. The host name of the cluster. Get the cluster and add a new node to the cluster. You can run this whole script. While we're doing that, we can actually go in and check the endpoint on this server as well. So it's HTTPS :// swac2013d.corp.local/hosting/discovery. Oh. Wonder if I... Ah, here it comes. And as you can see, the certificate is okay and everything, so everything looks like it's working here as well. And hopefully we have joined that machine to the cluster now as well. So it's that easy. Security, I think it's really important to have this secure because this server is going to contain your most valuable information, all your documents, essentially. They're going to be there in the cache on the disk, so you need to protect your Office Web servers. First of all, there's no system account or domain account that the application is running as. It's running as local system. And even though there are blog posts about changing it to a domain account because it's easier to read documents on UNC paths that way, don't do that. Because when you restart the machine, it's going to be reset to the local system. So there's no point editing that. Always use SSL. IPsec is an option, but more complex, of course. Firewall. I haven't showed you that script. I have a small snippet that I normally add to my install script as well that set this port using the Windows firewall. So you can use the Windows firewall and talk to your firewall admins as well. You should specify an Active Directory OU as well, where you will place the WAC servers. And limit the host access. We'll show you this in the next demo, I think. Basically now, any server, SharePoint server or SharePoint farm, can connect your Office Web App server and have that as the rendering engine of the documents, which means that if you're in a large organization, set up two servers to have, support one farm. All the other divisional SharePoint farms, if you have multiple of them, can connect to your farm and can host your WAC farm because there's so many users now suddenly. So you can limit it to only dedicated DNS names. And this is what we use the Office Web Apps host for. So we can specify that only, in my case, sp2013f.corp.local, only those addresses are allowed to connect to my Office Web Apps farm. But by default, everyone can connect to it. Actually, if you have... I don't know how SkyDrive has implemented it, but SkyDrive, this hosting slash discovery endpoint is available. You can go to it. And if you open your firewalls properly, there's... actually a chance that you could use the SkyDrive rendering in your SharePoint farm. But most likely, they have used this Office Web Apps host to protect their farms. And it's really important if you put up an Office web app form on the internet for a public-facing.com site. If you don't limit this thing, they can open their firewalls on their end, so your WAC form can connect to their .com site on the other side of the world with 10 times more users, for instance. So this is really important. A couple of things about the WPA authentication and the proof key. Even though when you have the WPA frame and it calls into the WAC server, it sends the URL and an access token. And this access token is valid for 12 hours. So a man-in-the-middle attack can actually take that access token and access your documents for 12 hours, that document for 12 hours. So that's a really good reason to use HTTPS in this key, in this case. But also, just so someone, the man-in-the-middle attack, can't construct these access token, there's actually a proof key that's updated. I don't know how often it's updated, but in the Office web app form that encrypts this access token as well to make it even more secure. And there's a timer job that in SharePoint that repeatedly updates this proof key. So it's called WPA Discovery Synchronization. And you can do it with PowerShell as well. And it might be necessary to do that when you connect to a new farm or when you upgrade your WAC form using the update SPWPA proof key, PowerShell commandlet. Another really good thing is the WPA suppression settings, which you do on the SharePoint side. You can turn off specific WPA commands. For instance, you added all the commands, all the WPA bindings to a SharePoint farm, but you want to use Excel with delegation. You want to connect to your cubes using delegation. Then you can't use Office web apps for that. So you can, like we do here, create a new WPA suppression setting for view action for the Excel extension, and then use Excel services instead. This is basically the only case I use this, is when I want to use delegation in Excel. We mentioned the zone previously. You have four zones, internal, external, on HTTP and HTTPS, and you can set that those ones. You have to set it in the Office web platform and in the which zone to use in SharePoint. So I'm going to quickly show the suppression, the host access here. So let's jump to our, let's see if that's healthy. That's always fun. Still unhealthy. It hasn't reported yet. So we go to this machine. I try to do all my settings on the master machine, even though you can do it on the other machines, but I try to do it that way. So if we run, let's scroll down so you can see better. New Office web apps host, and I specify a domain here. And if I specify contoso.com, then only contoso.com machines can access the Office web apps. So if you go back to my demo machine, which is obviously not contoso.com in this case, reload the page. It might work in this case, since this information is not directly replicated to the other machines. So if I hit the D machine in this case, so it's still working. So let's do like this. Suspend that one. And do a reload. So I'm only hitting the first machine. Should get an error here in a couple of seconds. Hopefully, once NLB has understood that machine is out of rotation. There I get the error. So now I cannot access Office web apps from this machine. So I have to go back in here and add my server, sp2013f.corp.local. And it's implied that all subdomains of this address can be used. So it should work now. Let's go back here. Can take a couple of seconds sometimes. Did I spell right? what? There was a problem. 23rd core broken. Yeah. Please work. It's thinking at least. Yeah, it works. So that's how you can protect your farm. So, and let's go back to search one more time. We haven't checked that one yet. Run a full crawl. We should be able to see the previews now in search as well after the full crawl has executed. So that's one way to protect your farm. And no, I know that PowerPoint doesn't work. There's some files that actually doesn't work. I've seen that have one large customer and their template that they have used. It's compatible with Office Web Apps. We sent the template to the team so they can take a look at what exactly is wrong with rendering. But there's some, it's not Office that's running on those machines, it's an implementation that does the rendering. So some documents just don't work. Some more maintenance things here. Update and patching. Fortunately, it's done independently of the other products. You can update the Office Web App server as you go. And the key here is you don't update the WAC form. You create a new updated WAC form instead and move the users from the old one to the new one. So you create a new WAC form, disconnect the old WAC from SharePoint, connect the new WAC to SharePoint. And you can take one or more servers at a time. So this is a good reason for having two. You can take one out of rotation, patch that one, and create a new form on that one, move the load balancer over, and take the other one and update the other one. So basically it looks like this. You have two WAC servers. You make sure that NLB only goes to one of them, patch the other one, move over to that one, patch it, and then you might have to update the proof key or reconnect the WAC form. Reconnect the WAC form, for instance, almost had to be done when they added the PDF things to WAC in the March public update, or you can run the new SPWAP binding manually. And finally, you add the second form. The interesting, you don't have to run update proof key all the times, because actually SharePoint handles two proof keys, the new one and an old one, so it always have a backup of the previous ones, and it checks for those two both all the time. But in some cases, I've seen you have to run that command. To check your version, it's a small tip, really good. That can be done used by your load balancers as well to see if the WAC servers are responding. It's an anonymous endpoint you can use, and if you get the XOffice version header, you get the version of the Office Web App server. And here are, for your reference, the different versions that are available right now. Language packs. You install them before you create your WAC form, install just like a patch. It's basically like that. And you use prep, of course. Some troubleshooting things here. The really good thing is that the WAC team implemented logging exactly the same way as SharePoint. So you can use the ULS viewer, for instance, when watching the logs. And of course, watch them both on the SharePoint farm and on the WAC farm. And you can compare information. And what's good with the WAC form actually is you can configure the log files to not contain any usernames or anything like that, which is really good for security reasons. I wish SharePoint had that kind of thing, then you could leave the logs to other persons as well. But that's a really good security feature. Also look at the Office Web Apps category in the event viewer, especially when you have an unhealthy state. It's most of the time very obvious in those logs what's going wrong. And of course, Fiddler, to inspect the requests going back and forth and see what's happening. And the happy admin used to repair Office Web Apps form. Sounds really good. But as I said previously, 99% of the farms, I guess, have an unhealthy state. And all that Repair Office Web Apps Farm does is remove the unhealthy servers. So don't use that. I think this is designed to use when you have 10,000 servers and 100 of them are crazy. Then you can use it. Don't use it. It's my tip. And if you have nothing to do on a Friday evening, read the MOPI protocol specs to understand more on how it works, which I've done, obviously. So I'm going to show you just how you can connect another MOPI client to SharePoint. It's available on CodePlex if you want to look at it or build on it. So let's HTTPS check the endpoint, hosting discovery. It's hosted on a separate IIS server. Just needs to warm up. I always do this before I do the new SP WPA binding. Just check so I can access the endpoint from my SharePoint server. And this one contains CSV, text, Visio, viewers. And for text files, I even have an edit function. So let's go back to PowerShell. Scroll down a bit. New SP WPA binding server, openwpa.corp.local. See, I don't specify any protocol or anything here. It tries different protocols. Takes a couple of seconds. And very soon we should have the edit and view possibilities in our document library for a text document that's in here. So let's reload this one. Documents. See, if I click here, I should be able to choose view in browser and see that one and even edit the document. Tense. Save. Go back to the site. Oh, it's not very, I'm not a UI guy, so. But it works. Yeah, so you can basically create your own stuff here. The thing you don't get out of the box is previews here, because that requires changes or additions to the JavaScript in SharePoint. That's available on my blog if you want to know how to do it. For Visio, I have created a preview that you get out the thumbnail from the document, for instance. I'm almost on time. Yeah. So what have we talking about in this session? We have seen the coolest server product you've ever seen. That's how a server product should be implemented. And I hope SharePoint team takes some of the tips and tricks from the WAC team. It's very simple to manage and upgrade and patch. Basically, you just create new stuff all the time. Watch out for security things. It's easy to scale out, just add a couple of new machines. Everything is PowerShell, so it can be scripted, automated, and very ISV friendly, as I said, both on the server and client side. So with that, do you have any questions? Yeah. It works fine. Currently, I think there's some issues with 365 rendering, but I've used it with my customers, and they're very satisfied with that. It's only viewing. If you want to edit it, it will open up in, if you have Office 2013, will open up in Word, and you can it's converted to a document, docx file, and you can edit it. That's worth New Zealand SharePoint conference ticket. Do you not want it?
No, I've already got
it. Oh, then you got the book. Are you a developer?
Yes.
Yeah, good. So, one final question. Yeah? Old documents, no, not the binary format. Correct me if I'm wrong. Let's check. I should have known that question. It's embarrassing. Yes. Yeah, that's a conference ticket for that. Office.corp.log. I have the bindings here, sorry. Search for. Yeah. Takes the binary files as well. Good. Now you know that, and I know that. Congratulations. Any more questions? Thank you so much.